We continue our study in Psalm 19. I read to you the whole psalm and we will move towards the portion that we have to study for today. Psalm 19. To the choir master, a psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. We said last time that the emphasis in Psalm 19 is on God's revelation of himself in creation, in scripture, and to the human heart. So Psalm 19 speaks about God's revelation. Number one, the world around us reveals God the Creator, the revelation of God the Creator through creation, Psalm 19 verses 1 to 6. And then we have the revelation through the Word of God. The Word, the Scripture, reveals God the Instructor, Psalm 19 verses 7 to 11. And then we have the witness within us, revealing God the Redeemer, Psalm 19 verses 12 to 14. Now in our last study, we looked into verses 7 and 8. Now we look at the remaining verses in the psalm. The Word, the Scripture, reveals God the Instructor, verses 7 to 11. We said last time that the revelation of God in creation is so overwhelming, it's mind-boggling, but that revelation is limited when it comes to manifesting the attributes of God and his purposes for creation. Revelation through creation is limited. And since creation is subjected to bondage and futility, we saw that in our last study, we need something that reveals more clearly the character of God, and that something is the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. So God chose to reveal himself through his written word. When David wrote about creation, he used the word El for God. Psalm 19 verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, El, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. But when David wrote about God's word, he uses the covenant word, Yehovah, the Lord. He uses that seven times in this psalm. Psalm 19 verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul, the testimony of the Lord. The word Lord there is Yehovah, the covenant word for God. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Now David used the covenant name of the Lord, Yehovah, because the God of creation is also the God of personal revelation to his people. And that's why David uses the covenant name of the Lord. The God of creation is also the God of personal revelation to his people. Israel was a very special nation, a special chosen people, chosen by God, and God revealed himself to them by his law, through his covenants and his promises. The heavens declare God's glory, but the scripture tells us what God did so that we may share in that glory. And then we began seeing how David recorded six different names for God's word, six attributes of the word, and six ministries of the word in the lives of those who receive his word and obey it. six different names of God's word, six attributes of the word, and six ministries of the word in the lives of those who receive his word and obey it. And we looked at four of those names, attributes and ministries last time. And now we will look into the remaining two and move on into the rest of the psalm. Number one, the law of the Lord. The law of the Lord, Psalm 19 verse 7. Number two, the testimony of the Lord, Psalm 19 verse 7. Number three, the statutes of the Lord, Psalm 19 verse 8. Number four, the commandment of the Lord, Psalm 19 verse 8. The fifth name, attribute and ministry of God's word is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord, Psalm 19 verse 9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Now the fear of the Lord is an unusual name for scriptures. But it reminds us that we can only learn the word of God out of reverence and respect for the God of the word. We cannot learn the word of God unless we show reverence and respect for the God of the word. So to teach the Bible is to teach the fear of the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 4 verses 9 to 10. Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. How on the day that you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, the Lord said to me, gather the people to me, that I may let them hear my words, so that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children so. Gather the people to me, that I may let them hear my words, so that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live on earth, and that they may teach their children so. So the mark of a true Bible student is a burning heart, not a big head. Not a whole lot of theory accumulated, no. But a heart that burns for God. Such a person has a reverential fear of God. Having recognized that it was Jesus who walked with them on the road to Emmaus, you find those two disciples declaring in Luke 24 verse 32. They said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? So that's what should happen to us. When we meditate on the word of God, when we read the word of God, when we hear the word of God, it must be like exactly the same kind of experience that these two disciples went through. Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? Psalm 19 verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Now some fears that people have are distressing. They are defiling fears. These are unclean fears. Sometimes these fears are demonic. But the fear of the Lord is clean and it matures us. The fear of the Lord is clean and maturing. We do not decay. We do not decay or deteriorate as we walk in the fear of the Lord. We grow into maturity. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verses 16 to 18. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. So when our minds are being renewed by God's word day by day, then a transformation takes place from within. God speaks to us. Our hearts are ignited with love for the Lord. Romans 12 verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Now it is through the promises of God's word that we cleanse ourselves from every defilement of the body and spirit. Through the word of God, through God's word, we cleanse ourselves from every defilement of the body and spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 1. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. So the promises of God in his word cleanse us. God's word cleanses us. The negative thoughts, the impurity in the minds, all of that departs, and the defilement that it has caused also is removed. Sinful, impure thinking is replaced by rightful thoughts, pure thoughts, thoughts that are positive and affirmative. Thoughts of wholeness, thoughts of wellness. Negative thinking, thoughts of failure, doubt and fear are replaced by affirmations received from the promises of God's word. That's why it's so important to cling to God's word, to cling on to his promises. We receive more and more of the impartation of God's nature into our lives when we cling on to God's promises. And that's why it's so important to meditate on God's word, receive God's word, hear God's word, so that our minds and our hearts are filled more and more with his nature. God has implanted his very nature into our lives the moment we are born again. And as we receive his word more and more, more of his divine nature is imparted to us. We become more and more Christ-like in our nature. 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 3 to 4. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. You see, when we served the world, the flesh and the devil, our minds were polluted by the thoughts and the feelings and the emotions and the will of the evil one. But when we were drawn to Christ, when he drew us out of the domain of darkness and brought us into his marvelous light, he gives us the knowledge of him through his word. And he implants his nature in us the moment we are born again. And he imparts more and more of that nature in us through his word, by his spirit. God's word also endures forever. God's word endures forever. Psalm 19, verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. His word is eternal. Matthew 24, verse 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. The words and promises of people, all of that keep changing because people change. So their words and promises change. But God's word is unchanging and eternal, so we can completely depend on his word. The sixth name, attribute and ministry of God's word is the judgments of the Lord. The judgments of the Lord. Psalm 19 verse 9, the rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Psalm 19 verse 9, the King James Version, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Now this word judgments or rules can be translated ordinances or even verdicts. It refers to decisions of a judge. And throughout the Bible we see God passing judgments on what people and nations do. God's rewards, rebukes and punishments help us understand what pleases him. His judgments are true and righteous altogether. To the nation of Israel, God gave ordinances, and these ordinances instructed the officers and judges in settling problems between individuals and in meting out punishments to guilty offenders. Believers today, we are not under the Old Testament law, but a grasp of how these laws were applied will help us to understand the righteousness of God and our need for God's grace. The way we treat our Bible is the way we treat the Lord. So it isn't difficult to determine if we are rightly related to God, because the way we treat God's word is the way we treat the Lord. Do we take God at his word? And do we take his word seriously? Do we take his promises seriously? Do we cling on to his word? The answer to that question will tell you how you are related to God. Do we desire the word because it is precious to us? Psalm 19 verse 10, more to be desired are they than gold. Psalm 119 verse 14, in the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. Psalm 119 verse 72, the law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. Psalm 119 verse 127, therefore I love your commandments and above gold, above fine gold. Psalm 119 verse 162, I rejoice at your word like one who finds great spoil. So do we rejoice? Do we hunger for God's word? Do we desire the word of God? Because God's word is precious. Is it precious to us? More to be desired are they than gold. Yea, more than fine gold. Do we desire God's word more than food? Psalm 119 verse 103. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Psalm 19 verse 10 says, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. So do we desire God's word more than food? 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 2. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. Yes, Psalm 119 verse 103. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Like newborn infants, 1 Peter 2 verse 2. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. You can ask yourself the simple question. Do you really desire to get up in the morning and listen to God speaking to you through His Word? Do you experience God communing with you through the Word by His Spirit in the mornings? Do we find satisfaction in feeding on God's Word? Matthew chapter 4 verse 4. But He answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Job 23 verse 12. I have not departed from the commandment of His lips. I have treasured the words of His mouth more than my portion of food. Jeremiah 15 verse 16. Your words were found and I ate them, and your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Do we accept the warnings of the word and act upon them? James 4:17. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. And do we enjoy the blessings of the Lord because we have obeyed His will? It is through God's word, Romans 12 verse 2, that we find God's will. It is through His word that we know His will and do His will. So to have an appetite for God's word is a mark of a healthy Christian, because such a person has his priorities straight. The Lord has given us His Spirit to teach us His word. How wonderful. He has not only given us His word because we are born of God's Spirit, because we are born again. His Spirit teaches us His word. And if we walk in the Spirit, in step with the Spirit, we will learn and we will live the truth. John 14, 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. John 16, verses 12 to 15. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for He will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that He will take what is mine and declare it to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verses 9 to 10. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. So it is so important for us to meditate on the Word of God and listen to God speaking to us. No matter what you're going through in life, no matter what problem you're facing, there is an answer to that, there is a solution to that in God's Word. So when you develop spending time with God to receive from Him, you experience God speaking to you. Your heart desires God's word. There will be a heart that is burning after the heart of God. Number 3, the witness within us reveals God the Redeemer. Psalm 19 verses 12 to 14. Who can discern His errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Now the first 6 verses of Psalm 19 talks about the witness of God seen in creation. And then from verses 7 to 11, we see the witness about the glory and grace of God revealed in the Word of God. The witness about the glory and grace of God revealed to us in the Word of God. And then in verses 12 to 14, We see God speaking to our hearts, the witness of God to our hearts. Now, unless a person has a relationship with the Lord, unless God becomes his or her father through Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, unless that happens, that person will not have the witness of the Holy Spirit in his or her life. He or she will not have the witness of the Holy Spirit telling her or him that he or she is a child of God. So a personal relationship with the Lord is so important to have the witness of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Romans 8 verse 9. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. So it is so important to have a personal relationship with the Lord. Romans 8 verses 15 to 16. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirits that we are children of God. And this happens only when you're a child of God, when you're born again. The word of God in our hearts is what matures us. That is what transforms us. Psalm 119 verse 11, I have stored up. Psalm 119 verse 11, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Colossians chapter 3 verses 16 and 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. God's word is light. Psalm 119 verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God's word is like a mirror to help us see ourselves and search our hearts. James 1. James chapter 1 verses 23 and 24. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Psalm 19 verse 12. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. From hidden faults. Secret sins or hidden faults are those sins that we don't realize we have committed. But God's word brings to light those secret sins. Once those secret sins are revealed, those sins need to be confessed and forsaken by the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Psalm 19 verse 13, keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. So there are hidden sins or secret sins, and there are presumptuous sins. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Now David committed adultery with Bathsheba and arranged to have her husband Uriah murdered. You find all of that narrative in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and chapter 12. In other words, he sinned brazenly, insolently. He sinned with his eyes wide open, knowing that what he was doing was wrong. He transgressed God's holy laws. That is presumptuous sin. He could therefore bring no sacrifice to make atonement. And he knew that. Psalm 51 verses 16 to 17. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. You see, the Old Testament law provided forgiveness for sins of ignorance or secret sins because the sinners were guilty. Sins of ignorance were forgiven. Secret sins were forgiven because the Old Testament law provided forgiveness for sins of ignorance. Secret sins also. Because the sinners were guilty even though they were ignorant of what they had done. In the book of Leviticus chapter 5 verse 17 you read, if anyone sins doing any of the things that by the Lord's commandments ought not to be done, though he did not know it, then realizes his guilt, he shall bear his iniquity. So there was forgiveness, there were sacrifices for that. But the law does not provide atonement for presumptuous sins. The law does not provide atonement for presumptuous sins. And David knew that. That's why in verses 16 and 17 of Psalm 51, which we just read, he says, "For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering." Because the law of God does not provide atonement for presumptuous sins. Numbers chapter 15, verse 30 and 31. But the person who does anything with a high hand, you see, presumptuously. But the person who does anything with a high hand, whether he is native or a sojourner, reviles the Lord, and that person shall be cut off from among his people, because he has despised the word of the Lord and has broken his commandment. That person shall be utterly cut off. His iniquity shall be on him. And you can read Deuteronomy chapter 17 verses 12 to 13 also, which tell us the same. So what could David do? David cried out to God, "Have mercy upon me, O God," Psalm 51. So when David cried out to God and confessed his sin, what happened? God in his grace forgave David. In 2 Samuel chapter 12 verse 13 it says, David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." 2 Samuel 12, 13. David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said to David, "The Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die." And then in retrospective, David writes Psalm 32. And in Psalm 32 verse 5 he says, "I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin." You forgave the iniquity of my sin. Now we come to verse 13 of Psalm 19. Psalm 19 verse 13. "Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgressions." You see, unconfessed sins, even if it is committed ignorantly, they can grow within the heart and begin to rule over us. That's why David says, "Let them not have dominion over me. Let them not have dominion over me." So this can lead to our committing willful disobedience, great transgression. That's why he says, "Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression." So this is why we must ask God to put his searchlight upon our lives every day and reveal the dross and the dirt and the filth within. Ask him to reveal our secret sins. Psalm 139 verses 23 to 24. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." When God shows us our secret sins, they are no longer secret. They need to be confessed and forsaken by the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. The Spirit of God puts to death the misdeeds of the body so that we can live. So we must get rid of all sin, whether sins of ignorance or presumptuous sins, by confessing and forsaking and receiving the empowering of the Holy Spirit to live in victory. We are not sinless, as I have said so many times earlier, but we are blameless. We can live in conscious victory over conscious sin. And when unconscious sins or secret sins come to light, we confess it and we forsake it by the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. We are cleansed by the blood of Jesus, and we are empowered by the Holy Spirit for victory. Psalm 19 verse 14. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." God wants to hear our words as sacrifices that please him. That's what God wants. Our words are like sacrifices that please him. That's what God wants to hear. Psalm 141 verse 1 and 2. "O Lord, I call upon you. Hasten to me. Give ear to my voice when I call to you. Let my prayer be counted as incense before you, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." In the book of Hosea, chapter 14, verse 2, the contemporary English version says, "Return to the Lord and say, please forgive our sins. Accept our good sacrifices of praise instead of bulls. accept our good sacrifices of praise instead of bulls. So our praising God from our hearts, our lips of praise, God accepts like the sacrifices. Hebrews 13 verse 15. Through him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. So that's what God wants to hear. God wants to hear our praise and our worship as sacrifices that please him. God wants to hear our words as sacrifices that please him. Psalm 19 verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In the Old Testament, the priest examined the animal that was brought for sacrifice. And the animals were to be without blemish. No spot, no blemish. If the sacrifice was not acceptable to the Lord, the worshipper was not accepted by the Lord. If you read Leviticus chapter 1 verses 1 to 9, you will notice that. So the lamb or the sacrifice had to be without spot, without blemish. And if that was not acceptable to the Lord, if the sacrifice was not acceptable to the Lord, then the worshipper was not acceptable by the Lord. In the book of Malachi chapter 1 verses 6 to 8, we see this very clearly. Malachi chapter 1 verses 6 to 8. A son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my fear? Says the Lord of hosts to you, O priests who despise my name. But you say, how have we despised your name? In verse 7, by offering polluted food upon my altar. But you say, how have we polluted you by saying that the Lord's table may be despised? Verse 8, when you offer blind animals in sacrifice, is that not evil? And when you offer those that are lame or sick, is that not evil? Present that to your governor. Will he accept you or show you favor? Says the Lord of hosts. Psalm 19 verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The words that we speak come from the thoughts in our hearts. That is why it is so important to renew our minds with God's word so that we think the thoughts of God and we feel after the heart of God and we are able to speak the word of God. The words we speak come from the thoughts in our hearts. Matthew 12 verse 34. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So it is so important for us to meditate on God's word and God's works. You know, every time we read Psalm 91, what are we reminding ourselves of? We are reminding ourselves that God is our protector. God is our healer. God is our keeper. We depend on his word. We depend on the promises of his word. So it is so important that we meditate on God's word and God's works. These are the first two themes of Psalm 19. If we delight in God's word, we will naturally meditate on his word and our mouth will speak God's word. Psalm 119 verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. Verse 11. Psalm 119 verse 11. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 19 verse 14, once again, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Now this word redeemer in Hebrew is the word goel. It means the one who has the right to redeem, the close relative. It refers to the kinsman redeemer, the one who could rescue a relative from a difficult situation. As we see in the book of Ruth, we see Boaz, who is the kinsman redeemer. For us, Jesus is our redeemer. Galatians 3 verse 13. Redeemer means deliverer. Galatians 3:13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. Galatians 4:5. To redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. Titus chapter 2 verse 14. Who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Hebrews 9 verse 12. He entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. We have been delivered eternally by the blood that Jesus Christ, God's Son, shed for us on the cross. He became our kinsman redeemer. How did that happen? He left glory for that to happen. He came, took upon himself human flesh, sinless, and he was crucified on the cross. He died for us on the cross. He is both our rock and our redeemer. Not only did he pay the price to set us free, but he also keeps us safe. He is our rock. So let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in his sight. Let us sing praises to his name. Let us offer praises from our hearts to him. Let what we speak be God's word. And all of that is accepted by God as our sacrifices. Let's bow our heads in prayer.